We are dealing with the book of Ephesians, and the question that we are asking is, who am I and what am I called to do? That's the question. And we said that as a Christian, I am called to live as a child of the light. And so we continue to live as children of the light. We continue to cultivate purity within unity. Today we will look at the third of the six examples given to us by the Apostle Paul. And we will look at, we already looked at lying, we looked at anger, and today we're going to look at stealing. Interesting thought. So what the Bible is really saying is, don't be a rogue. Is there such a word as that? Don't be a rogue. Don't be a thief. Don't be a thirda. I think some of us know that word because you're laughing. Don't be a chore. Okay, some of you are still laughing. Don't be a skebengo or skebengu. Is that right? Don't steal. This is the eighth commandment given to Moses to his chosen people. And these principles or commands must be binding upon our consciences. So the Old Testament is not something that is old and we throw away. The Bible gave us commandments and it carries through into the New Testament. In fact, Jesus quoted many times from the commandments. And so, friends, you will notice that the Bible does not hide the sins of the saints. I like the Bible. It does not just talk about pretty things and good things and lovely things and everything good. It talks about some serious sins committed by saints. Nochal, for those that are Afrikaans speaking. All right? So, here's what we have. We have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And continually the Bible says we belong to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Three great names in the Old Testament. But you know, these three men, although they were so great, made mistakes. And they had some sinful ways. And the Bible shows us how these great men repented and then followed the Lord. All three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, lied. So we dealt with lying. Jacob went further. The Bible says, Jacob stole his brother's birthright. He was a skebengo. He acted deviously with his uncle Laban's sheep to make himself wealthy. And today we have what we call is white collar crime and blue collar crime. Do you know what that is? White collar crime and blue collar crime? Well, it has nothing to do with race. Blue collar crimes are blatant break-ins. You know, Jesus said, thieves, listen to this, thieves break in and steal. And he identified thieves with the devil himself. This is what Jesus said about the thief. Have a look at John chapter 10 and verse 10. And he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full or more abundantly. You'll find that these scriptures are going to appear on the screen. So keep your Bibles open to Ephesians chapter 4 instead of turning pages. And where I'm asking you to refer to other texts in the Bible, it will appear on the screen and you can follow with me. And then notice in John 10 and verse 8, you will see there it says, all who ever came before me were what? Skebengos. Thieves, thirders, robbers, chores. But the sheep did not listen to them. Can you see that? The sheep did not listen to them. So clearly Jesus refers to thieves as servants of the devil. Sometimes you think thieves are bad. Bad. Very bad boys. That's what we think, or bad men. But in John 10:18, it says, no one takes it from me, but I lay down of my own accord. I have authority to lay down and authority to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. Now, obviously, Jesus is speaking about his life. And dare I say, friends, that the men who came before Jesus, in fact, that reference there is a reference that is, I misquoted it. But what he's speaking about, he says, before Jesus could come, there were thieves and robbers. And dare I say today that the men who come after Jesus are thieves and robbers. They are leading thousands of naive and gullible people astray with their so-called prophecies and decrees. They make people eat out of their hands with their cleverly disguised philosophies and appealing words. In the end, such people are bankrupt spiritually. Now friends, one day we walked into the church, or we came into the church one morning to find that our taps and copper pipes were stolen. Can you believe that? And water was gushing all over. Until my neighbors, you know, nobody knew. Neighbors called me and said, there's water coming from the church property, and it was rushing down their property. And so when we came, we saw thieves have broken into our property, and they stole our copper pipes and our taps. It seems that thieves are becoming more and more brazen as they will drive away with your baby in the back seat of the car, or hijack you when you are outside your very own home. You know, this was dramatically portrayed not so long ago in a South African movie called Tsotsi. Have you watched that? Tsotsi. Where a thief, a young boy of 16 or 17 years of age, hijacked a car, ditched the female driver, and sped off only to find a baby in the rear seat of the car. Now that may be a movie, but it is reality in South Africa for the citizens who live here. See, thieves will go a step further and have a very little conscience about killing you. You know, not so long ago, it happened down the road from us, where a neighbor was shot dead in the doorway of his home. Came from work, left his bags in the kitchen, his cell phone rang, he brought his cell phone outside, he just came out the door, stepped out of the door, and suddenly the guys rushed him. As he took the phone to put it in his ear, they point blankly shot him, and he fell into his lounge. Dead. And they had the audacity to still rush him and rob the people. Do you know how much that man's life was worth? He was a young man with two children. 200 rands. His life was worth 200 rands. That's all they stole, and a cell phone. We call this blue collar crime. But white collar crimes, on the other hand, is done very subtly. These thieves get away with huge amounts of money. And they do it through transfers, corruption and bribery, hacking into the bank's computer system. You know, I worked for a bank, and an employee thought he could get away with transferring small amounts of cash from clients with huge amounts of deposit on a weekly or monthly basis. And he thought they will not miss the small transactions where you will take money, a little money, and he'll put it into another account that he set up. And he got away with it until someone queried an amount with the bank. Now, how do you prove that that money was taken away? Well, the bank did an investigation, and what they did was they set up a surveillance camera. And they set him up, because when they went through the account, they found one particular employee was suspicious. So they set him up without telling him. And he got caught, because cameras don't tell lies. It records your face there, and it tells you what you are doing. See, you can see what he's doing. And immediately he was trapped and dismissed. So the Bible comes and it tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, if you would look at the text there, it says there in verse 28, he who has been stealing must steal no longer. So a thief must stop stealing. How many of us can say this morning that I have never stolen in my life? How many of you can put your hands up and say, "Hi, Pastor, Bishop, I have never ever stolen in my life." Now, I'd be surprised to see hands go up this morning. You know, every one of us, including myself, has a tendency to cheat or steal given the opportunity. You see, Paul knew that, and so did Jesus. And that is why Jesus commended Zacchaeus, the tax collector. I do pray that our tax collectors are not cheating us. All right? But here was Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And he was a skibango. But when he met Jesus, his life was changed. Have a look at 19 and verse 8. Don't look at your Bibles. Look at the screen. Verse 9, it's just chapter 19, verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated, if I have stolen from anybody or cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." The question is, did Zacchaeus stop stealing? Yes, he did. Now, let me ask you a question. When is a thief not a thief? When is a thief not a thief? And many of us will say, well, when he stops stealing, isn't it? And you'd probably be right. But let me ask you this. What does the Bible teach about thieves? Well, the Bible says, goes one step further. You see, the Bible says a thief is not a thief when he stops stealing. No. A thief is not a thief when he stops stealing, and listen to me, and works. You got it? And works for his money and works for his possessions. So a person who works does an honest day's work with his hands. He is earning his own living and he is basically doing all the hard work. Every day he has to work hard. Now I know for a fact that hard work will not kill anybody. I've never heard of anybody dying of hard work. All right? But is hard work simply enough? Well, the Bible goes one step further and says that the thief must give back what he has stolen. Have a look at chapter 4 of Ephesians and verse 28 again. It says there, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his hands that he may have something to share with those in need. So imagine the thief stops stealing and begins to work and then says, you know, I work hard for my money. I am not prepared to give away my hard-earned money. What happens with that kind of attitude? Well, it is simply not an attitude of gratitude. He is closing the door to God's blessing on his life. So the Bible says the thief must now become charitable. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now there are Christians, sad to say, are more than content to receive, but are not willing to give. You see, they receive spiritual nourishment every week. They receive counseling. They receive prayer. They receive gifts from God in the form of children. God blesses them with children. They receive rain from heaven. They receive sunshine. You know, John spoke, what a beautiful morning that we have. He forgot to hear the birds singing this morning because he was fast asleep. I heard it. They chirp every morning. They get me up, actually, because my neighbor's got an aviary next door. So, you're blessed with sunshine. You're blessed with good health. Imagine getting up in the morning and says, thank you, Lord. What a beautiful day you're going to, but thank you for this good health. I'm able to get up and praise you. Now, it is so good to receive, isn't so? But it is more blessed to give than to receive, says the Bible. Now, that is what Zacchaeus promised to do in the Bible. And he did. The thief who stole in the past becomes the most charitable person in the present. The Bible says he gave away 4 times the amount he has stolen. Not only is he charitable, he is very hospitable. Notice how Jesus invited himself over for dinner and sumptuously fed not only Jesus, but his 12 disciples. You know, it's easy when somebody says, you know, can I come home for lunch today? Imagine they inviting themselves to your house. So you'll speak under your breath or you'll go that side and say, what do you think of this person? Doesn't know that, you know, doesn't know what we got in our pot, and he's just inviting himself. You know how we are. You know? But Jesus invited himself for dinner. He didn't even invite himself. His 12 disciples were there with him. They followed him everywhere he went. So there were 13 of them invited to this tax collector's house. And he opened his house. And he said, come. And he sumptuously fed them. And Jesus basically said, salvation has come to this house. Now friends, that's what happens when a person gets saved. When a person gets saved, his life changes. The old is gone, the new has come. He puts off that which was greed, selfishness, and everything that is mean and just everything for himself. And what happens is a new spirit takes over. The Holy Spirit comes and he becomes generous, hospitable, willing to give, willing to go the extra mile. And there are people, friends, I want to say, in this church who never complain about their time, their treasure, and their testimony. Their life is a free will offering. In fact, Romans 12 and verse 1 says, offer your bodies, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Can you see that? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. That is what the Lord calls worship. We think we come on a Sunday morning, we clap, we sing, we shout hallelujah, and we praise the Lord. That is worship. That is only one element of worship. When you leave the door and you go out and you sit in your house, and how you conduct yourself with your wife and your children and how you live your life, that is worship. That is worship. And friends, offer your bodies as a willing sacrifice, living sacrifice. Now, I believe that is what transformation is all about. So when you say you are a Christian, the Lord Jesus must make such a difference in your life, not only in your life, but mine as well, that our priorities must shift from earthly possessions to heavenly possessions. Have a look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commandments will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I don't know why we always get it wrong. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder. And anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Now, Jesus said, that also is a reference I read that is way out. But Jesus said, store for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Understand that? If you've been attending the Bible studies, brothers and sisters, you would know that we have been dealing with sanctification. And on Wednesday we spoke about the Holy Spirit that every Christian possesses. However, Christians also possess a sinful nature. There is a war that goes on inside of our hearts. The war is between the spirit and the sinful nature. And we said our outward behavior and actions will determine who you really are pleasing. The Bible says, do not gratify the sinful nature. The sinful nature does what is contrary to the spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. You know, Romans 8, 5 to 8, I hope this is right. Those who live according to the flesh have their mindset on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the spirit have the mindset on what the spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. He does not submit to God's law, nor can he do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Can you see that? You know, somebody described our hearts like this. Listen to this. He says, there are two lions that are inside our hearts. Just picture this figuratively. Each lion wants to be fed. The lion that will be stronger and much more powerful is the one that is fed and surely will dominate. The question is, who are you feeding? There is another lion that is in us as well. And that lion is called the Lion of Judah. And he comes in through the Holy Spirit. And he also lives in us. So, is it the devouring lion who has control of our sinful nature, or is it the Lion of Judah whom the Lord has given us to be with us forever that we are feeding? Which lion are you feeding? Now, some of us may think that God is only referring to stealing of money in this passage. I also believe that he's speaking about the stealing of time. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another as all the more you see the day approaching. So it's clear, friends, we have what we call time that is being taken away. How do we do that? Think about our employer's time. How are you faithful to working the full 8-hour day? What about God's time? Are you faithful in reading your Bible? Are you faithful in reading your family Bible study? Now, as a church, we have allocated time for you on Wednesday. And it has been announced this morning in our family news. And friends, I'll urge you to take those Bible study notes that was given to you at the door, open to that notes, because a lot of time has been put in there. We spend a lot of time in it. Pastor Jonathan does that. Alright? And so the idea is for you as a family to meet around the Word and to sit there and to inculcate a family altar. And so you got to read that with your family and lead your family in a study. And so if you don't do that, you are stealing God's time. Are you faithful with what God has given you? Are you faithful with your tithes? You know, we looked at the reading this morning in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8. It says, will a man rob God, yet you rob me in tithes and offerings? You see? Are we giving faithfully to God? When we made a pledge to give our tithes and offerings and said, Lord, you blessed me with this job, I'm giving to you this money so that the work of God can prosper, so that the work of God can continue. Are you robbing God? What about your witness? Are you faithful in sharing the gospel with someone? You know, the best thing to do when someone visits you or phones you with a problem is to take the problem back to God's word. Remember, in relationships, we are bound to have problems. And the best remedy for or cure for any problem is the Bible and God's precious word. So, the thief must stop stealing and he must start working. If you'll allow me to change the text slightly in Ephesians 4:28c, and I'm almost done, promise you. The Bible says the Christian must do something useful with his hands. He must stop stealing, but must do something useful with his hands. Now, I want to change it a little bit, all right? So you have in verse 28c that the Christian must do something useful, or the thief must stop stealing and do something useful with his hands. I'm going to change it slightly by saying he must do something useful with his mouth. So, every week, we do something useful with our mouth. I'm not talking about eating, all right? Every day we do that. But we talk as well. Now, I counsel people all through this week by taking them back to God's word. I encouraged a broken-hearted person. I've prayed for people. I've done all that. Are you doing that as well? You see, friends, when we do that, we are feeding the spirit. And when we don't, we feed the sinful nature. And how do we feed the sinful nature? Well, somebody shares something, it becomes itchy, it itches our ear, we hear them, and we don't realize that what that person is doing, he's doing something that is harmful. Because they're talking about somebody else. And they're talking in ways that are not building up, but breaking down. So we listen to gossip. We become angry. We lie, we cheat. Yes, we are simply feeding the sinful nature when we do that. So, when you use your mouth to help others, you're doing something useful with your mouth. When you use your mouth to criticize people and have only bad things to say about them, you're doing something harmful with it. So we're called to build one another up, not break one another down. So examine within the context of your marriage. When something happens and your wife tells you something or your husband tells you something, how do you respond? Do you say things to break or do you say things to build? The same with your children. It's the same with your neighbors. It's the same with your work colleagues. How do you use the words that come out of your mouth? And so, have a look at verse 29 and 30. It says there, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building each other's up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Get rid of all bitterness. And you can read the rest. So what the Bible is saying, watch out when you speak. Because, friends, listening is a skill. I was speaking to someone over the Bible study, and I said, in this week, I had almost three people phone me and take almost an hour on the phone talking to me. And while they were talking, they were crying. And you can see they were in emotional distress. And all I did was listen. You've got to have listening skills. And in the end, I didn't say a word. I took them straight to prayer and I said, let's pray. And I prayed about all the problems that they shared with me and I took it to the Lord in prayer. That's all I did. And they said, Pastor, thank you so much. I feel so much better. See, people, when they phone you, they want somebody to listen. They don't want to tell you, they don't want you to give them advice and tell them this, that, and the other thing. They know that. But listening is a skill. Speaking is a drill. So watch out when you speak that you don't kill with how you drill and grill someone. A thief must stop stealing and start walking. And lastly, a thief must be generous. The Bible says generosity is encouraged. You know, Dorcas learned how to sew with her hands and she made clothes for other people. She gave it out freely. There were others in the Bible. Lydia was a businesswoman. And she opened a home for gospel work. And she was very charitable with the money. And we see the poor churches. The poor churches gave so much out of their extreme poverty. They gave to the needs of others in their overflowing generosity. They gave out of their extreme poverty. It is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. So as I close, three things. A thief is called to live an honest and blameless life. How honest are we when it comes to our time, to our tithes, to our pledges, and to our service? That's a question you need to ask. Secondly, a thief is called to be a hard worker. He must not be lazy. See, diligence, serving faithfully, working are marks of a restored thief. And lastly, a thief is called to be generous and to display a spirit of giving. He must not depend on the charity of others. That's a mark of a person who has been converted by the Lord and who has been blessed by the Spirit of the living God. I trust that God will help us, that we will not be people who steal God's time, God's money, and God's talents. Let us pray. Sovereign Lord, thank you for helping us change from ungodly thieves to godly servants. Thank you for reminding us of the 8th commandment not to steal. Please help us to work hard and not to be mean and selfish. Would you please help us to be extremely generous when we see a need? Oh Lord, please help us to give beyond our ability and to know that we are storing for ourselves treasure in heaven. We have seen the generosity of this church in the recent event we had this past week. Oh God, people have been blessed and touched, especially those who have come from the Yoga Society. How I pray, Lord, that you will save them from going to a Christless eternity. Even as I pray for people here who may have a form of godliness but deny Jesus and his power through their inconsistent Christian walk and talk. Please, Lord, we pray that you'll have mercy on us all. Forgive us and help us that we strive to live godly lives in a godless society. We commend ourselves to you and we pray that you will bless us even as we leave this place now. In Jesus' name. Amen.